From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, oh yes, those open lines. Here's what's happening. Health officials across the United States are urging people to get their flu vaccines as the virus continues to spread, they say, in 40 states and Puerto Rico, and has been associated now with 15 children who have died. The latest report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says more than 12,000 cases of influenza A have been reported across the country. 51 of the 54 U.S. areas, states, and territories are experiencing elevated levels of flu and flu-like illnesses. Keep in mind, though, that the regular flu kills about 36,000 people every year. Federal judge in Seattle has temporarily halted President Donald Trump's immigration order nationwide. They did that tonight. The hearing came after attorneys general of Washington and Minnesota filed a lawsuit seeking to halt President Donald Trump's January 27th executive order restricting immigration to the United States from seven Muslim-majority countries. It also placed restrictions on refugees entering the country. And there have been protests all over the country over this. Well, tonight, a federal judge in Seattle has temporarily halted the immigration order nationwide. The Justice Department will fight it. The U.S. coal patrolling off of Yemen after Iran-backed rebels attack a Saudi ship. Listen to this story. The Navy has sent the U.S. coal to the Gulf of Aden following an attack earlier this week on a Saudi warship off of Yemen by Iranian-backed Houthi rebels. The destroyer is the same warship that suffered heavy damage when an al-Qaeda bombing attack in Yemen in 2000 killed 17 U.S. sailors. The United States has imposed fresh sanctions on Iran as President Donald Trump sought to punish Iran for its ballistic missile program, prompting a warning from the Islamic Republic that it's going to respond in its own way. What does it all mean? Let's check in with John Curtis, who supported Donald Trump during the election. John, what do you think's going on here?
Well, I mean, you know, he's hit the ground running, as they say. I mean, we're fulfilling a lot of campaign promises, and this one that Giuliani helped him do, which was the this immigration ban, was really not thought through very carefully. They're on very, very shaky legal ground. It is possible they can get an appellate court to basically reverse the injunction, but that doesn't mean it's not on shaky legal ground. You cannot say that when just because somebody's an immigrant, no matter where they're from, that somehow they're part of a terror organization unless you have proof of that, or they're going to cause mayhem at some future date in the United States. A lot of these terrorist incidents that have happened on American soil have been with legal residents or people with green cards or citizenship status, at least, that is legal. So self-radicalization is very hard to permit. Now, Trump is, moving ahead very quickly, with many of the campaign promises he made. But I do think that there are repercussions for those, and I think this travel ban is one of them.
John, we've been watching protests and some violence all around the country over this whole situation. Are we having our own Arab Spring here?
No, I think what we're having is we have a group of agitators around the country that are these demonstrations that we witness in Berkeley and various parts of the country protesting one thing after another since Trump was elected are really a backlash against a disgruntled majority that really wanted Hillary Clinton to be elected. And I think they haven't let up yet. And I think that, Trump is faced, he's just picked his Supreme Court nominee, which is, I think, getting universal praise because of his qualifications. And yet I think that there's this kind of divisiveness that occurred before the election that we're seeing afterwards. And I think it's going to take time for things to settle down for people, especially as, you know, the various campaign promises, Trump attempts to implement them, and some of them are controversial.
Track Dr. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com. In Michigan, private information stored in a state computer system for unemployment benefits recipients was exposed to unauthorized viewers after a software update inadvertently caused a system glitch that could have affected nearly 2 million individuals. Social Security numbers and names have been accessed. Who got them? Anybody's guess. How many times have you been in a parking lot and you saw a car parked what you thought was illegal and you wished, boy, I wish I could call the cops or do something about this guy or woman? Well, now a private parking firm has created an app that promises to pay users to report illegally parked cars. That's right. So if you go by and see a car parked, let's say, in a handicap section and it's not supposed to be there, you upload a picture of the car and the license plate, and then they eventually get ticketed, and you get a commission on that. Some people are literally going to do this full time. They're going to do nothing but drive around and take pictures. I guarantee it. A band of robbers drove a semi onto the grounds of the Jaguar Land Rover's factory in the United Kingdom, and they stole $3.75 million worth of car engines, and off they went. Strange things going on these days. Let's also check in with Peter Davenport now from the National UFO Reporting Center. Peter, beat that engine story, huh?
Well, I think I might be able to.
All right,
George, but I'd like to start by saying I wish President Trump would issue an executive order against immigration of my kind of aliens. That would make my job a lot easier.
Yeah, it sure would.
I just checked our website. I see that our webmaster has updated our website within the last hour, so the Coast listeners are getting the very latest data that we have available here. But I'd like to start with a couple older reports. First one from 50 years ago, September 1967, a gentleman writes, and his report is posted to our site now. He writes that he was an airman at Lackland Air Force Base in Texas in September of 1967. He was out walking. He looked up. He saw a very peculiar light, peculiar because it was moving so rapidly and also because it was blue. And he noticed that as it was slowing, it was changing colors. It went from blue to orange to red. It came to almost a dead stop directly above him. And then it allegedly, according to this report, released an object, a smaller object that drifted off from the larger one. And then suddenly the smaller one accelerated and just shot off into the night sky like an arrow out of a bow. Very interesting report, and Coast listeners who remember some of my earlier reports may remember that I made a very, very similar report from East Point, Michigan on the 3rd of June, I believe it was, last year. I invite people to compare those two reports, Lackland Air Force Base, September 67, and East Point, Michigan of May 27th, 2016. Very interesting reports. Next report comes from Charlotte, North Carolina, June of 1980. Gentleman reports that he and his wife were stopped at a red light. This is a daylight sighting, 1700 hours, 5 p.m. And they noticed an object, a cigar-shaped object off to their right, silver in color, had windows on the side of it. They pulled off, and they sat in a parking lot for 10 minutes looking at this object. They noticed that although they could hear each other's voices, they could hear no outside sound, no traffic, no engine sound, no nothing. Next report's a little more recent from Suarita, Arizona, just south of Tucson. Last Saturday, a gentleman, his wife, and son were out photographing Venus. They suddenly became aware of a cluster of orange lights move from the eastern sky to gone over the southern horizon in about 6 minutes. Very interesting sighting. We've had three similar sightings tonight from Jacksonville, Florida, Hutto, Texas, and Lake Worth, Florida. In any event, that's my report tonight, George.
Super,
I'm sticking
Peter.
To every word of it, and I hope everybody has a nice weekend.
Peter Davenport, his website, UFOCenter.com. Up next, we're going to talk about satanic rituals. Russ Dazar, back with us on Coast to Coast, and we will be right back. The CC Skywave Radio, Sea Crane, is celebrating World Radio Day and Valentine's Day, by the way, in the same week. So when that happens, look out. World Radio Day, by the way, and Valentine's Day in the same week. So celebrate the love of radio. Sea Crane is commemorating this special week by offering the CC Skywave AC adapter for free with the purchase of the Skywave radio. The Skywave radio, by the way, is a marvelous radio. It's small. It's got an AM and FM weather band, short wave, aviation band, lets you hear air traffic controllers and pilots. It's a travel size radio too, and you'll be amazed at how well this little radio picks up stations. Great reception on weak stations as well. So stay tuned while traveling or listening to your favorite station through the night with the CC Skywave radio. To order the CC Skywave and receive the AC adapter free, call Sea Crane now at 1-800-522-8863. That's 1-800-522-8863, or go to seacrane.com. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Let me tell you about our guest tonight. Russ Dazar is a licensed ordained minister. Russ works with the victims of satanic ritual abuse and has investigated satanic rituals, occult crimes, and mind control as well. He founded the agency called Shatter the Darkness back in 1982 to engage underground growth of satanic ritual abuse and its connection to government programs, Nazis, programmed assassins, and has spent thousands of hours working with many victims and in investigations for the connection and ritual crimes. And here is Russ back on Coast to Coast. It's been a year and a half or so, Russ, but it's good to have you back.
It's been a little while, but that's all right. It's great, George. Thank you for letting us be here. And on behalf of the victims, let me say thank you, because it kind of gives a voice for them.
This is truly a bizarre time, Russ, where I'm sensing, and one of the reasons we wanted to have you on, is that I just have a feeling that this is growing. It's not getting smaller, is it?
No, not at all. And I mean, you know, the satanic ritual abuse is one of the phenomena, and yet the globe as a whole, they're all feeling the darkness. They're all feeling it on a global scale. No question about it, the sense of something, a tipping point, whatever else. But it's connected to, and I know you, I've listened to you so much, and I appreciate your understanding. And I believe you believe there is a hidden system out there, a government, a dark shadow system.
Yes.
And I do believe that without question on a global scale. They're very, very prepared. And yet behind that, here's what's hard for me to sometimes express in law enforcement and with the feds and others, because it's very hard for them to understand the motivation in some of these crimes. Are there real demons? That's the issue. Are there real dark powers? Is it just in weird, bizarre cases of the guy in Florida that was eating the face off of that man and the officer had to shoot him? Or is it a global thing that has kind of a dark, you know, direction for the whole of the planet? And I think both.
Yes.
It's all connected.
This dark agenda, Russ, that seems to be looming over all of these, what's the bottom line? I mean, what do they want?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's no question. We you know, and your listeners are clear about this. A new order, there's the whole dream is, you know, a whole new order. But it involves so much. Now, see, on my side of the fence, in our study of biblical prophecy, in our underground research in 36 years, here's what we find. They want to bring about, and again, whether we want to believe it or not, here's what they believe. They want to bring about a massive collapse to nations on a global scale so that a hidden elitist political, military, you know, wealthy elite that has been in preparation for decades will be able to come to power. And they really do want a new world order, and they really do want a super leader that we understand as an antichrist, a world leader that would come. And all of this books, and you know books, and your individuals that you have interviewed all over the world have spoken about this. And yeah, I guess my point behind it would be there is there's real dark powers. I would say that Satan is clearly real, George, and the demonic side is clearly real. Not only are possessions up by the tens of thousands, sleep paralysis, demons visiting people, the ritual crime issues. Think of one case alone, Mexico. 100,000 dead in the last couple of decades in the drug lord wars.
Yeah.
What has not been found out until lately, the growth of Santa Muerte, the saint of death worship, 12 million involved in that, all across Mexico. A skeleton dressed in a wedding gown, and you have families and mothers and kids going and bowing down. Now, they also do blood rituals, and the feds have brought out an article concerning it's not just drug lords shooting one another, and there's rituals being performed, there's hearts being taken out, and so this whole thing about satanic presence in the air, darkness over cities, bizarre, the violence that's growing, it has roots in the underground. The underground is bigger than we think, and the ultimate goal, George, is world domination. They want to rule, and there is an ultimate end. It is Armageddon. We've written about that. We're writing new materials on it. We presented it in conferences. Armageddon is a big issue, and it's Revelation 19:19. It is huge, and a 3,000-year-old prophecy, Psalm 2, spoke about it. And that is where we're headed. Look at super soldiers. Look at the battles. Look at the direction. There's a real coordinated dark hand involved.
The Satanists behind this, are they elitists? Are they one world government types?
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, if you think in terms, you could think of the Satanic Temple that's out there now, just publicly going around. And just really trying to be loud and obnoxious in a lot of ways. There's the Anton LaVey, Church of Satan,
right.
The Satanic Bible. There's all of that. There's a lot of public stuff in rock music and even on the screen lately. Now talking about something deeper and is underground and goes back generations. So that modern day satanic ritual abuse is the process by which the underground is trying to create, the Nazis, Hitler called them Godmen, the super soldier, the Ubermann. They believed they had a dream of creating 200 million super soldiers that would not only be able to help a conquest of conquering the world, but then help maintain and rule that Third Reich for 1,000 years. So what they did in Lebensborn, in the spiritual selection of combining what they believed, kind of a spiritual view, Helena Blavatsky's view of the Aryan Godmen. So we're talking hybrid. We're talking something very, very, very old, Genesis 6, and their belief was they can backbreed to this. So when we talk about modern-day satanic ritual abuse today, when we first started dealing with it in 1979, it was bizarre. Demons were there. Anybody that we brought in, psychologists, officers, teachers, they saw it all. But we wanted to research broader and say, where is this coming from? Why are there millions of them now? Why are they in Canada, New Zealand? Why are they all through Europe? I've gone to Europe. I've gone to Wadelsburg Castle. I went to the Hall of the Dead. And George, this is huge. The underground is huge. We're seeing the surface, but the underground is more sophisticated and more organized. And the power to develop all of this is supernatural. It's dark.
How or why did you get involved in this, Russ?
Yeah, that is, and it comes back to the time, coming out of the late 60s, early 70s. I'm one of those kind of guys out fighting in bars, trying to learn things, getting the media called. I tried to be a Buddhist for years to clean my life up, going to a temple and... So in the midst of all that, George, someone came, presented the gospel for the first time. I wasn't raised in church, didn't have any background, didn't know. But Jesus came in my life. That's what changed everything in me. Now, when I started off in 70, early 74, five, and just started just doing, reaching others and doing, going to Bible school, we ran into, individuals that really did have demons. I mean, just like the Bible shows. And I believed that before I ever became a Christian, but when we began to see the confrontation. So we're dealing with it in 77, 78, 79. Then all of a sudden, we get some bizarre cases when we didn't understand split personality and sub-personalities and programming, sophistication, symbolism, twilight languages, dark, dark rituals, far beyond the books that were even out during those days. We just kind of got caught up in helping people. And once they started coming, and there was a day, George, I stood outside of the offices we had in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, and I think it was probably 1 o'clock in the morning. Some of the victims had been in and gone home. And I just said, God, I don't know why they're all coming here. Send us everybody. We'll help anybody. Just, we don't care. Send us everybody. That prayer was answered, and hundreds have come over the years now. And what we found is the most sophisticated blood-oriented rituals, that's how we got into it, dealing with victim after victim, then somebody else hearing, then another victim coming in, a psychologist bringing somebody, a law enforcement agent bringing somebody.
Hold on for a second, Russ. We're already at the bottom of the hour, but we will come back for more. Well, exciting times ahead. We'll be announcing soon a number of cities around the country where we'll be having our live stage show events. But the very first one I will announce now, and that will be in the Los Angeles area on May 6th. And this is how you need to get there, because here are some of the guests. Dr. Bruce Goldberg, live on stage, the hypnotherapist and past life regressionist. The Danyon Brinkley, who talked about his near-death experiences. Author and contactee, Whitley Strieber, will be with me. And then we'll have a meet and greet after the show. So we're going to have some fun. That's going to be in the Los Angeles area, May 16th. How do you get there? Well, for those of you who do not have computers, here's a phone number for you, 1-800-745-3000. 1-800-745-3000. Also, Ticketmaster.com. On both of those, mention my name or type it in, George Norrie, and then it'll take you right to that section. It'll be Saturday, May 6th, not too far away. Ticketmaster.com or 1-800-745-3000. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Russ Dizdar with us as we talk about his... By the way, he's got some books called Satanic Rituals, The Black Awakening, Transmutation, and Not Transhumanism. And, of course, his websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Russ, have you ever been scared for yourself doing what you do?
Well, there's been times, yeah. I was in a federal officer's home years ago with a woman was satanic ritually abused. They call them chosen ones. And so we're there to kind of protect her that night, and there's people with weapons all around, and she switched personalities. Because every one of the SRAs, the satanic ritually abused, have sub-personalities. So in this case, I was called to come over. She switched personalities to a cult-loyal, demonized personality, who then pulled out a large needle and tried to shove it into my chest. It turned into a weird episode. We're on the ground. The husband runs in. He's a federal officer. A demonic presence manifests. We pray. We command it out. The officer he went to the floor crying. He never seen anything like it. So there's been those kind of episodes, a bayonet by my head, a soldier brought his wife in, I went to write some notes, and the person switched again. In this SRA episode, it's combined with programmed sub-personalities. And those sub-personalities can be, they're the ones like behind Dahmer and behind, you know, some of the other ones we can talk about, the shooters. They're the ones that do the horrific crimes, and then they're able to go down. So we've seen that a lot. The biggest scare was probably early on when my daughter was two, and they showed up at a church I was pastoring and preaching at and came right up to my face and said, "We're coming to steal your daughter."
Oh,
and that was a time when I had to decide. And my wife, we had to pray about it and decide, and we felt, no, we needed, you know, she wanted me to stay and do what we do. And good news is God's protected us, but to this very day, seeing demons speak through people and seeing some of the most bizarre things, George, are just it outrages me partly because of the dark side. I hate the dark side. I see what it does to people. But God gives us strength. God gives a supernatural, you know, power from His Spirit to encourage us.
Russ, what do you do to protect yourself?
Well, number one, honestly, Psalm 91, there's prayer. Just as there's a real dark side, George, there's a real, God is real, Jesus is real, the power of God is real, and we've seen this demonstrated again and again, even the conferences. You've had Steve Quayle on. We were in Montana with him, and we saw God's power demonstrated there and in Missouri and in Connecticut with Ali Marzulli and others. There's been so many times this dark side stuff erupts, and yet the power of God, and there is authority that Jesus gives to his disciples, to anyone who's a believer in Christ, and that authority is astounding. And the truth is, I've seen in 36 years of doing this, demons don't fear anything else, but they fear the name of Jesus, the real Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is one. Now, let me be truthful. In a lot of the cases, because we don't publicize it, we have an SIIU unit, a Shatter Intervention Investigative Unit. We have turned state's evidence to feds. We have retired law enforcement. We have active law enforcement that help. And yeah, I carry a SIG Sauer 45.
Yeah, well, I expect you to. I was just going to talk to you about a Glock 9mm.
Well, we have a number of them here. I'll say this. I love God. I love people. I don't want to harm anybody. But if I saw a little girl, if we're on one of these cases where we're having to, go in and retrieve, we've extracted people from areas, flown in areas, and taken people to safety. If I had to, and I've pulled the weapon twice in 30-some years, I thank God I've never had to shoot. But I tell you what, when they came to my house to the side window of my daughter, I would have.
Of course.
I would have, George.
Of course. Now, what percent, Russ, do you think these people are mentally ill as opposed to truly being possessed by some kind of demonic force?
Man, good question, because here's what's important. Yeah, you have to sort that out. That's vital to sort out because, and it can be, the authority that Jesus gives will affect demonic presence. It will cause...
Well, we may have lost you. Russ, you still with us? Okay, we gotta call him back. Because he's gone. And next hour, we're going to take your phone calls. Of course, we're going to take your phone calls to talk about this. But this is the strangest thing. How many times have you been listening to me on this program when we get involved in something controversial and all of a sudden they're gone? They're gone. Now, is it possible that these demonic, satanic powers are so strong that they can simply just get him and he's gone and take him away? I mean, this gets to be scary stuff, folks. I mean, really scary stuff. And Tommy's trying to get him back now, and he's having trouble. He truly is. Oh, we got him. Okay. Russ, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you very much. I have no idea. And
I'm telling you, when you talk about demonic forces and they clip you,
yes,
they get you. Anyways, the question was, what percent might be mentally ill as opposed to truly possessed?
Sure. You've got to sort that out. There can be organic issues, chemical issues. Drugs can cause so many things, too. Then there can be a combination. And so that's what has to be weeded out in the context. And again, with our stuff, when we go to, work with individuals, we can work with bipolar, we can work with, all the different areas. We've worked with, people from every kind of harm that they've had. And so barring a tumor in the brain and other chemical issues and things like that, when the authority of Christ is exercised and engaging a demonic sense, And the more anybody who does this has been there in the field doing this again and again and again, the more experienced you become, the more you're able to see it and sense it immediately. So, yeah, there's a lot of people that's come to our offices, felt they were demon-possessed. They were not. And we help them to understand that, help them understand what their real problem was, and then give them counsel on those issues.
Do you think the devil wants the soul? What does he want? Just to disrupt somebody's life? What's that mission?
Well, there's a parable Jesus taught, and the entire parable is about, the sower, the word, and, he comes to steal it because, well, he doesn't want anybody to know God. That's one thing. That's one thing we need to know about the devil. He insatiable hatred of God. The whole issue is that. His whole existence is that. So when it comes to that, one is to steal from, keep people from God. Second, the desecration of a human life. And I would say thirdly, if they can, to just use that life in bizarre ways, you know, use that life to perpetrate, you know, evil also. But it's ultimately, George, about stealing people from God. I mean, that dark side doesn't want anybody. There's, I've seen hatred. We've seen it in the crowds and the riots here lately and all that on TV. But when you see it and feel it from a demonic side, the hatred of God and then the hatred of humanity is unequaled.
Well, and there are a couple things going on here, Russ. One is, of course, these demonic possessions, these things that are happening that are really surreal. And then you have these ritual abuses that are being done. Tell me what that is all about. Again, does that include someone that is satanic, that's been possessed? Why do they commit these horrendous crimes when they're in this state?
Sure. Well, one of it is the demonic drives, individuals. And again, a study. And here, it's tough in the area of law enforcement. This is what we want to help with in the area of forensic psychology and criminalistics, the motivation to crimes. So say there's a serial rapist. We thought we had one up here in Cleveland just in the last 2 days. Or a serial murderer, somebody doing some really, really horrible acts. Can there be demonic presence inside? Without question. Without question, they can drive individuals to harm others and to harm others badly. In satanic rituals, though, and over the years, we've confiscated ritual books and books of shadows and many things. And so we've studied hard. We've read hard. Again, we've said in Law Enforcement Academy, they say, whether we believe this or not, please understand their motivation. If they believe they're going to gain powers by doing a ritual, by stabbing a little girl 190 times and then sexually abusing to what they call raising the energies so that the demons come and gather into that mix, and then when they do the final thing of killing, all the demons then can be acquired by the ritual worker and they can gain more power. So it's gaining powers and gaining abilities and gaining status. That's part of the reasons why they would do them.
Russ, when you have tried to help somebody, has anything ever gone awry where you couldn't reach them, you couldn't get to them?
Yeah, George, that is sad. That's the sad side. Yeah. The federal officer's wife I was telling you about one day, a number of years, and it's more sophisticated when there's programmed subpersonalities from childhood, and every satanic, ritually abused individual, all four generations of them now, it all begins actually in pre-selection, you know, even in the you know, the having of the, you know, the breeding of the baby, but it all begins back then, and they are victims upon victims. They're very much like human trafficking in a sense, but the satanic side. So yeah, there's been times like this individual. We engage in a major deliverance, we call it an exorcism. Demonic presence came up, and there's what's called the priestess inside came up and vowed, even after the demons were commanded out, vowed to get them back and vowed to stay loyal to that side. They did. We never saw them from that episode. And there's been a few others like that where there was, you know, we are going to keep our powers. And there are individuals, they, you know, George, they want that. That side can give powers temporarily, but it always comes with a hook. It always comes with, you know, grabbing them and you know, how do you get out then? So, yeah, there's some tragic stories. There's individuals that we knew of in Lititz, Pennsylvania. One, we worked only once, but they had counselors there. And you'll hear this across the board. There has been suicide. In all satanic ritually abused individuals, not only do they have programmed shooters, they have programmed parts of them that will commit suicide if two people are getting too close to the secrets. If anybody's going to catch them, you know, and get evidence,
almost like a suicide bomber or something like that.
Well, look at the VTech shooter. They all claimed that he never had a gun, that he didn't know how to shoot. They found paperwork on the outside of the VTech, the college, his psychological papers concerning him.
Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech. And he has this, he's killing like a SWAT team member. And then at the end, he blows his face off. And I think that Jared in Arizona was going to, take himself out, but they grabbed his weapon. I believe that Holmes in Colorado would have probably done the same thing. Notice in their cases, now again, my difficulty is I don't have them face-to-face. If I could be face-to-face, I could get to the subpersonalities. In their cases, both of them did their shootings and killings and all the stuff they did. They get, arrested, taken in. They wake up in jail. They wake up, George. They have no idea where they are, why they're there, what they did.
Would that be the same with Sirhan Sirhan, who at this point doesn't even recollect killing JFK, even though people saw him there? He was one of those there with a gun. There may have been others. But he has no recollection anymore.
Here's the mode of operation. If he was a program shooter in the creation of a program part inside of him, which means that when the part does its work, it goes down. The normal person comes back in as their amnesia. They don't hold memory to what they just did. They can lose a day. They can lose an hour. So, and we've seen this face to face with individuals over and over and over again. We've seen how it works. We've seen how the triggers work. So, in his case, and here's how it is: if he's a program shooter, and I believe he was, then somebody programmed him.
Somebody, and who's that programmer?
That's now here, let's take one step back to 1947. I mentioned this last time. I won't go into it long, but G.H. Estabrooks, world-renowned psychologist, world-renowned, hired by the U.S. military. He wrote a book called Hypnotism. He has a chapter called Weaponization. This is not my content. It's theirs. He explains in 1947 how they learned how to create subpersonalities in soldiers. Four categories of programming subpersonalities. One is to be a programmed assassin shooter. One is to be, they can create one to be a disinformation agent. A personality comes up, goes into a group, sows disinformation. Another is a spy. Another is an infiltrator.
Be a patsy, as in the John F. Kennedy assassination?
Yeah. Absolutely. Actually, they can create, whenever they create a subpersonality, think in terms of a hypnotist on stage. If he can actually hypnotize somebody, he can get them to do anything. He can get a 250-pound football player to dance around like a ballerina. This goes beyond just the hypnotism. This goes on to the permanent split and then the programming. They're doing the same thing. They're telling the raw personality, this is what you are, this is what you're going to do. They can use psychic driving, as Cameron did in Toronto or in Canada. They can use a lot of things to, to build the programming. Shooter, sex slave, whatever they want. Put them down with the code. All they need is the trigger code to bring them up. Now, on the satanic side, they add the demonic empowerment that makes them super fast, super strong. I mean, George, I've seen it in their faces when they fought five officers in front of me. Five officers, they almost killed me. I mean, the guy switched in the room and attacked me and the officers, five of them fought, leg chained him, arm chained him. They didn't receive anything like it. He was throwing five officers around left and right.
Yeah, they get this incredible power all of a sudden, this adrenaline rush.
With Sirhan, that's, and how do you detect that? I had a federal officer a number of months back on a case we turned, state's evidence on. And we're still sticking with our evidence, and it's been 14, I think over 14 years now, they haven't nailed down anybody for the brutal killing of a 14-year-old girl and a 17-year-old girl, both on ritual dates, by the way. And the officer, I said, listen, if you interrogate just the guy, like one detective did, even if you give a lie detector test, he'll pass it. But if you get to the sub-programmed personality, and I've talked to hundreds of them over the years, over numbers of individuals that we've dealt with, they all have numbers, many, not just one or two. Now, in military stuff, they might create just one or two just for a particular job. But, George, they've been doing this this goes back again. The Nazis did it with Maronite programming. They knew how, Mengele knew how to do this.
How long does it take to program somebody, Russ?
Well, if they start in the childhood aspect and create the dissociation, they already begin to create the splits, it's very easy. Look how quick you can take somebody, put them under on stage, a stage hypnotist.
Yeah, that's true. Russ, stay with us. Going to come back. We'll talk more, and we'll take phone calls, stories, and questions for you next.